took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another episode of Glorious Day.
I've always wanted to do that.
With Pastor David and Pastor Barry.
Yes, both of us here in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. It's good to be in your living room, in your car, in your kitchen, wherever.
Wherever you are.
Wherever you are.
Yeah.
And to share God's word with you and the themes that the Spirit's giving us to help us get ready for what God is doing. He's doing some big stuff.
Yes, he is.
Tonight, or today, this morning's, whatever time of day it is for you, the theme for this episode is receiving sinners into the church. That's our theme.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you might say, well, all right, that's what we do. But last week we talked about unity in the church. And again, that's important to getting ready for the coming revival,
mm-hmm.
which we haven't seen the great explosive in a movement of the Spirit yet in that, but there are mm-hmm. things. If you look on, you know, the new, not the news so much, you're not going to see it there, but, you know, if you look on Christian, like CBN is one, other Christian outlets, you're going to see where God is moving in ways that he hasn't really been seen to move in a while. So mm-hmm. it's happening. It's going there. So receiving sinners into the church is going to be, it's a big deal for how God is reshaping this church to be a church in revival. Okay, so I'm going to read to you from Paul's first letter to Timothy. This is the first chapter, and it's verses 14 through 16. Paul says, or writes to him, he says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for the very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." And this is truly the word of God.
Amen.
And right here, I love what God does through his people when his Spirit is moving. It's God's honest, complete truth stated so simply.
Yeah, this is very easy to understand.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we hear underlying with Paul, he's forgiven, but he's still carrying the ghost of his past sin life, particularly in declaring war on Christ's church.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. David is. Everybody who's listening right now, the only one that was sin-free is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that's our job, is to bring sinners into the church. They're all sinners.
Yeah.
Some people may be a little more expressive in their sinning. They might even be shining a light on themselves a little bit more when they sin. But we're all in the same boat.
Yep.
We're all in the same boat.
Exactly.
I got to tell you a quick story, David. One of the churches that I had been involved with, we had a gentleman biker who had turned to Christ, and mm-hmm. he was on fire for Christ, and he began to do the work of Christ in his own world,
mm-hmm.
and that would be in biker bars, in the slums, in the places that you and I would speed up even through a red light.
Yeah,
were his places of where he frequented. And one morning, as I was unlocking the church, here comes this big, scary biker man in his old truck, and he pulls up. I thought it was a dog with something wrapped around it, like a blanket or something.
Yeah.
But it was a guy he had just pulled out of a dumpster.
Oh, my goodness.
And a steaming heap, you might call him.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he drops him in the church, and he said, "Introduce him to Christ like you did to me, and fix him." I said, well, I don't fix anybody, you know. As our leader in our little group says, you know, God is in management, we're in sales, but right. we are responsible for bringing people to Christ, to the cross. And so I cleaned up the steaming heap of a human being a little bit mm. and realized that he was young, probably 30, 31 yeah. years old. And we got him cleaned up, sobered up, got him ready for church. And he said, you know who I am? And I said, no. And he gave me a name, and I'm not going to say the name on the air, but mm-hmm. he was a rather famous rocker in his own music genre. Mm-hmm. People in their 30s would know who he was. And so I said, well, what happened? Mm-hmm. Why are you living in a dumpster? And he had done the usual rock and roll, drugs and rock and roll, and mm-hmm. he got kicked out of the band for being too wild and found himself on the streets and found himself in a dumpster. Mm. Being cared for by a 6'5", 270-pound biker with a heart of gold and a mouth of, well, we'll go there another time.
There you go, yeah.
So I said, I never heard of you. And it kind of crushed him. I said, no, I'm old. I know the Beatles. I know the Rolling Stones. I just don't know you.
Right.
Long story short is it took some time, David, but he finally came through to be honest with God.
Yeah.
He began to come to church on a regular schedule with his biker friend. And he would sit in the corner of the church away from everybody. He would never sit with anyone.
Mm.
And he began to cry in church.
Mm-hmm.
What he was doing was communing with Christ. He just happened to be in the building with those other Christian people.
Yeah, exactly.
He finally came to me and smiled and said, I think I'm going to be okay. I know that God loves me. I want to do more for him. What can I do here? Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
A man who is so busy beating himself up, more than the devil could, really. He hated himself, just hated yeah. his life. Well, let's speed up the time machine. A few months later, I'm up in the altar of a church, and he's assisting me. He's got robes on.
Yeah.
He's an altar server, we called him. And it was very important for him to do that.
Yeah.
And this is how it works, folks. Then he went and found other people in the same boat as him. And he let them know that God forgives them and they need to forgive themselves and move forward and get their life together with Christ. Not any particular church, but with Christ, and they will be healed. Now, I don't know where he went. He disappeared one day.
Mm.
I think he was from up north somewhere.
May have gone back home, maybe.
Yeah, because I believe he was rebuilding the bridges he had blown up with his family. But I think about that. Well, other churches may have seen this steaming heap in the back of the church and maybe stepped over it, around it, and whispered about him. I don't know. I pray that they don't and didn't. But in this case, I tell you what, he was bought in by a soldier of God who only he could have done that, to go into that dark world
right.
and pull people out. You know, and I want you to remember that, because when it comes to who you're sitting next to, in front of, behind in church, realize that everybody on the inside has something going on. And there may be a barrier on the inside of them precluding them from coming to Christ. Not everybody that goes to church has come to Christ yet, right?
Absolutely right.
So
yeah.
there could be a barrier in there. It could be a self-hatred. It could be that the fact that they've never forgiven themselves.
Yeah.
Or they quote-unquote don't feel worthy.
Which is kind of arrogance when you realize that that God wants to make you worthy in his Son.
And his Son on the cross.
Son on
and
the
all
cross,
the suffering
yeah.
and all the bleeding. Are we going to say, well, that's not enough?
Yeah, who are we to say that, Barry?
No,
nobody. But there's this thing that I have a call it a vision.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if it falls within the parameters of a real spiritual vision, but I was but all this business we've been talking about with Christian unity and these days of coming up with massive revival in America and then the world and all that, and the image that in part of the vision is what God has given me and others, not just me,
right?
But what the church needs to look like, that it's the kind of a body of believers that are first and foremost so in love with Jesus Christ that often it is just that evidence of that love that we have for Christ,
mm-hmm.
while as we're within Him, in Him, which is what happens, this unity right. we talk about with God, that people see that, people who are not saved, that are truly lost. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, I don't care what economic, socioeconomic level they come from. You know, there are Wall Street bankers, and there are dumpster divers. At mm-hmm. the other end, they're all lost. Lost is lost, right? Sin is sin. And we are called by God and empowered by Him to receive the sinner. You know, and yeah, sometimes the sin makes their life look like the accumulation of dumpster contents and the OD dumpster that, you know, surrounds them.
True.
But frankly, you know, I have met, I have met people who have had very, very important, significant jobs in industry, you know,
mm-hmm.
Tycoon types.
Ah.
And there is a sense that they, you know, they did not know the Lord. Their lives were not oriented toward Him. The same kind of aroma, in a spiritual sense, pervaded, you know, their lives. And what I guess we're saying is there's going to be a horde, literally a rambling horde of sinners.
What a wonderful picture that paints.
Well, you know, I mean, literally, think about this. We're the church. We're looking now outward because mm-hmm. we're not, you know, hiding behind walls now. Church can't hide behind walls. We're out there. We're looking willing to be. And there's, as God raises up in this season of revival, more mm-hmm. and more, you're going to see literally the churches that are God-believing. All right. Right. I don't care what you call yourself. God-believing, Bible-based, you know, gospel preaching churches that really just want to bring the gospel, God's mercy, mm-hmm. you know, into the presence of those who don't believe that God loves them enough to give them the salvation that He says He wants them to have, and which is our job, you know, to witness to those people that's exactly what God wants to do, is you just imagine these people lost, but yet being drawn to the cross, you know, shambling, limping to the cross.
David, one of the most amazing experiences of my life in sharing the gospel was in the woods preaching to the homeless.
Mm.
And what I saw is exactly what you just described. And I'm backing up. I got to say something about dumpster divers and people like that. Mm. They're honest. And I believe that the Lord just absolutely adores and loves an honest sinner.
Yeah, amen.
And amen. In some cases, in the woods, they're a little too honest.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, too much information.
Yeah.
But I was preaching in the woods, and they shared their stories with me. And believe it or not, people, these people that I met in the woods are shining examples of Christians. There's no, they don't have a plot or a plan.
Mm.
They don't have ulterior motives for attending a church. They just want Jesus, and they're just so grateful to be forgiven. And I look at this ragtag bunch sometimes, and I say, that's what heaven looks like.
Yeah.
A ragtag bunch that they're, you could see their spirit just shining through their face and their eyes.
Yes.
When you mention the name Jesus Christ. It took a lot to break them down.
Yeah.
And sometimes that does happen with people where they're completely broken.
Yes.
You know, so what's the old thing with the army? You know, they break you down and build you up.
Yep.
And that's what's happened to them. I got one more story.
Oh, lay it on us, bro.
And this is a story I saw on Facebook of all places, but there was a church, and it was a very wealthy parish. And there was a guy that showed up, and he was less than hygienically correct and didn't wear shoes, and his feet were filthy, and he was kind of, you know, a mess. And so the preacher listened to the complaints of the people and went to him and said, listen, I want you to respect the house of God, and I want you to go home and pray and ask God how to dress for church. Ask what he says, and then come back to me. A few weeks later, he comes back. He's still a mess. And the preacher said, what did God say? And he said, he told me he didn't know what I should wear because he's never been in this church.
Well, as much as that's funny, but it's also true.
I hope that it doesn't happen, but I imagine it has. Because, you know, churches, it's full of people, and we know what happens when people get together in a group, and we're only human, and we're all sinners, and things are going to happen. When we go back to the time of Paul coming to Christ and in his very unusual way, I always wanted to be a fly on the wall when he came to meet the other apostles and see how that meeting went, the first meeting. Now, they're all full of the Holy Spirit. You know, Pentecost has come and gone, and I'm sure that they were all utterly changed, but they know who Saul was.
Yeah, they did. Yes.
Are we going to let him in the church? Well, when Jesus Christ picks another apostle, you're going to let him in the church.
Ultimately.
But their human nature is probably holding him back a little bit from giving him big hugs and kisses. But as we all know, things turned out very well.
Right, but the point you make is great, because when we're reading from 1 Timothy tonight, you know, he said what he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now, of course, was he really the worst? They weren't running a contest in those days, but he was killing Christians. Now, he was presiding over what he thought was the destruction of a body of blaspheming heretics.
Right, who were dividing and weakening the Jewish religion.
Exactly, and he was going to single-handedly...
I'll fix this.
Mm-hmm. But Jesus had better plans for him.
And I love the people that Jesus picks, because everybody around scratches their heads saying, well, why would he pick that one? I thought he had better management skills, you know? And why would he pick that one? Yeah. when I became a preacher, I went back to the hospital I used to work in, David, and I had a collar on. Mm-hmm. And I saw some of my former coworkers sliding down walls laughing. I didn't know that I was of that questionable character, but they said, is it Halloween? And I said, no, this is what I wear now. And they said, well, it's funny. They intended this to be an insult, but it was factual. Well, I guess God can pick anybody. I said, yes, he can.
Amen.
Yes, he can. And I got to tell you, if you talk to a lot of preachers, they have a very interesting story to tell. Mm-hmm. Some of the most successful guys, they weren't always a saint. We've all lived a normal life or an abnormal life or whatever you want to call it. But once you commit to Christ, sin doesn't fit.
Yeah.
You can still sin, but it doesn't feel right, doesn't fit right, and it's just not a doable thing. Now, I'm not trying to sound like I'm a mamby-pamby perfect little boy. No, never. But I'm just saying, you are utterly changed. When you come out of that water, David, you are no longer the person that was born to your mother.
Absolutely.
You're a brand new creation.
In fact, you become a citizen of a different country. We call it heaven.
Heaven.
Kingdom of God. And this is a whole nother program, by the way, is talking about how do we live as citizens of the kingdom while we're still on earth.
Should I write that down?
to remind me, because I'm the one that usually does our program notes. And this all points again back to the stage that first of all, let me say, I believe as we pray for the church in these days, that God would transform us, and he's already doing that. Hence, that people like you and I can go on the radio and advise other people what God is doing,
right?
You know, that they will know, you will know, listeners, and then you will hear other people talking about it, is to transform his church, to heal it. All right, let's use the word healing. Divisions have to be healed. The from the smallest divisions that creates denominationalism up to the biggest one, where we have this great divide we talked last week between you know, the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches. And on both sides are Christians who believe they're doing the right thing. And in essence, they're all. We can't say that people on one side are not Christians. Who gave you or me the right to say that? Nobody.
Nobody.
It's prejudice talking. So let's just get that in our heads and out of our lives that, you know, we can't be prejudicial. And so, but when, and now speaking about that, so while we're still dealing with the healing of division, we're going to have those sinners coming to us, you know, and some will be dressed nice and they'll not smell too bad. And some of them on the opposite end of that spectrum, you know, look like their haberdasher is the dumpster, you know, so, but, and it may be that they're, you know, that's a spiritual view and not a physical one, but they're going to be coming. And God does not want any of us to turn them away.
David, I attended the Night of Joy in Disney World years ago. I'm not sure they do that anymore, but they would bring all the contemporary Christian bands in. And from 11 o'clock at night till, I don't know, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, you got to go on some of the rides, but you also went to the different venues with all the different groups and bands. And it was wonderful. And I don't think Casting Crowns would mind me throwing their name out there, but they were performing. And I looked at the crowd. There's about 5,000 people in front of the castle. And their arms were linked without even talking to each other. All of us ended up linking arms and singing. And I looked around. David, nobody matched. There were tattooed, scary biker dudes standing next to what looked like a little pale-faced nun. I don't know. Nobody matched.
You
know, the farmer next to the pharmacist. It was just great. And my wife at the time said, I think heaven looks like this. From all stripes. And, you know, one of the songs they were singing was talking about sin and, you know, redemption. And people were singing along and crying. Because they were just being honest and contrite. We're all sinners. Look at us. But we're standing in front of the castle praising God and singing songs and giving him the glory. We need to just realize that nobody's perfect. Everybody's got sin. You know, you can't have gradations of sin. You know, that was just a little sin. He's got the big sin over there. Right? Sin is sin. And it stains your soul. Until you come to Christ and wash clean of all sin, the minute and the ridiculously large.
Absolutely. And there's no, you know, God doesn't grade people or grade sin. He's no respecter of persons, as meaning he does not say, well, I'm going to be nicer to you than to this other person. Doesn't do that. He wants to lift us all up. And especially in these days, I have to say, keep in mind, folks, while you're getting ready for this massive onslaught, if you will, of sinners coming to Christ. And I know so many folks today have such strong I'm not going to get into politics, but we have to at least say, I hope you're praying for people at all levels of government who are lawmakers. You know, we have three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. I hope you are praying for everyone elected and appointed that have leadership roles in the national sphere, in our states, right? Because God loves them too. And I know some folks get very, very upset thinking about the current state of things in our government. And I get upset too. I don't agree with the attitudes, and especially where we can see demonic influences in the lawmaking and such. We got to pray for those people because God wants to save them as much as he wants to save you and me.
And you pray honestly.
Yes.
You don't grit your teeth and pray.
No. No.
you know. People do that. I've done that. Honestly, you just got to use the power of the Christ in you.
Amen.
To override whatever, I wouldn't say hatred, but disagreement, prejudice, whatever you got going on.
Yeah.
There have been times in my life as a Christian where I had to pray for someone who... I had to fight through the prayer, David. I had to fight through it because they were just so honorary and so mean and mean-spirited. But, you know, the guys that were driving the nails through Christ's hands were forgiven, and he was praying for them as well.
Yes, and that's a scenario we can read about.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Gospels.
Forgive them, Father, for they forgive know them. Not. Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing. You can apply what Jesus said. Imagine Jesus saying that about your less than favorite lawmaker who's just written a bill trying to get it through to to do exactly what God does not want done, you know, to support some sinful activity. Think about that. That's a great point, Barry. I'm glad you brought that up.
Love the sinner, hate the sin.
Absolutely. That's a pretty much a common standard view. God has that. We need to adopt that. Sinners are coming to us, folks. Get ready.
Get ready. Be prepared.
Brother, you. I know that you have a prayer that you would like to offer to close this session. So would you please lead us in that?
Let us pray, O Holy Father. You forgave my sins. You cleansed me. You changed me.
Yes, Lord.
You redirected me. I ask tonight that you do the same thing for all those out there that are struggling in sin, struggling to forgive themselves, struggling to just realize that you love them as much as you do, that they have a feeling in their hearts of unworthiness.
Yes.
Let them accept your gift of forgiveness. Let them be cleansed and move forward and serve you as Paul served you. After a terrible beginning to his career, he changed and built communities of churches. Let us do the same. Lord, bless us with that. Give us a direction, your direction for your will, and guide us through the path to glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, folks, our time, the sands of time.
The sands of time. That was a soap opera.
That was a soap opera. Yeah, you got to see this big
hourglass
with the sand slowly
so
trickling.
So were the days of our lives.
So were the days, yes. We're not promoting anything. We don't get and paid any money.
No, we don't.
I don't even know if it's even on the air. But at any rate, those are the days of our lives. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. And we'll look forward to being able to share with you next week.
Amen, brother.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Of your grace, I cannot.